Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We ask that if you enjoy this service, please click the like button below. And also leave us a comment. Let us know that if the message that we're serving and the way that we're serving you is a benefit to you and you're enjoying it. So we would love to hear from you what your thoughts are. If you find this service to be inspiring, it would be wonderful if you would think about donating to Unity Center of Light to support what we're doing here. If you're watching this on YouTube and you click on the Show More button, you'll see all the ways of giving and supporting Unity Center of Light. And we are thankful for all of your donations. And also, if you get the e-newsletter or the weekly update, you will have access to the link to the Zoom fellowship service that follows this message and meditation, and you can be part of that where you can see, just have community with, virtual community with others who are also watching and being involved in this Sunday service, and listen to some great music and some discussion. So we look forward to seeing you in that Zoom fellowship service. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 23rd. The key word is prosperity, and the affirmation is, with God as my source, I live abundantly. No matter how much I have in the bank, the kind of car I drive, or the house I live in, I know these things are mere manifestations of abundance. The source of all prosperity is God. I look beyond appearances to find a deeper meaning of prosperity. Meaningful work that I enjoy doing is part of my prosperity, not only because of what I earn, but also because of the satisfaction I feel when I use my skills. My house becomes a home when filled with people I love and care for. My financial resources don't diminish but multiply when I share them generously. As I look beyond the good things in my life to the love, the creative insight, and the limitless flow of divine ideas that brought them into manifestation, I discover true abundance. And the scripture reading is taken from Proverbs 8:18, and it reads, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, today, the title is, well, first of all, you know, I know that each week we are always talking about the ego, you know, as the block to our realizing our full reality of our divinity, realizing that we are truly divine. And so it seemed like the ego is always the culprit that we use. You can use other words like, you know, the personal self or whatever works better for you, but it's sort of that personal dynamic that we're trying to get through to tap into the real spiritual nature of our being. But I was in My Organic Market the other day, and I saw this particular poster, which I thought really kind of hit it on the head. It said, let go of ego. We are teachable. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less, right? And I was like, you know, entertaining our ego less just may be the key to unlocking the door to our spiritual selves. So I thought that poster really hit it on the head. And it also said to me that, you know, everybody in different avenues are talking about the idea of the ego. So to explain the title of this lesson, is it really only the strong who survive? So the beatitude we're exploring, because which leads comes from that title, is blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay. Now, for those who are just, you know, joining us in this series, the attitudes of being we're studying are from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, recorded in its entirety in Matthew 5, 1 through 11. So the beatitude we're exploring this week is another one of those that many people have a very hard time accepting. Blessed are the meek, okay? Especially if you're a firm believer that we live in a dog-eat-dog world and that life is based on survival of the fittest, okay? And this is a common belief, whether we are conscious of it or not. You know, the world can be a scary place. You know, as we just heard, Ken Carter, vice president of the Arlington County NACCP, you know, was killed in Turks and Caicos while on vacation. So there's so much in the news that can make us feel that meekness is just not a realistic option. And at the time that, you know, Jesus shared this alternative, you know, when he was talking about this to the Jews, you know, the Israelites were being oppressed by Rome. And their thought and their feeling was, you know, to rebel and crush Rome. And they thought that Jesus would be the person to lead them in the rebellion. Okay. But no, you know, instead of that leading them into a rebellion, he says to them, and you kind of picture this, you know, they want to rebel. And he's saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay. So the thing is, there are plenty of scripture about being bold and unafraid. Let's look at some of them. Okay. You got Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, but they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And this one I really like. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then 1 Corinthians, this really lays it out there. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard and stand firm in the faith. Act like warriors. Be courageous. Be strong. Okay, so if you think about it, there's no wimpiness in those scriptures, no meekness in those scriptures. So what's really behind this alternative way of being Jesus is trying to teach? Do we have to be meek? Can't we be bold and still inherit the earth, you know, in terms of the scripture? In this context, when he says inherit the earth, what he means is to receive divine ideas that manifest as desired forms of abundance in our lives. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay, and again, that inherit the earth means the ability to receive divine ideas as desired forms of abundance in our lives. And I'm going to explain that more. But still, this idea of meekness still does not sit well for a lot of folks. So what was Jesus trying to tell us? Well, meekness does not mean remaining quiet when we see injustices taking place in the world around us. And on a personal level, it doesn't mean to allow ourselves to be abused, discounted, or discredited in any way. So let's be clear about that part of it. Now, the dictionary has two sets of definitions which give two different perspectives of the word meek. The first definition says that a meek person is one who is submissive to others and is easily imposed upon by others. So this is probably what a lot of folks think about, you know, as a meek person being, a person who has very low, you know, self-esteem, a sense of self-worth. But even those who live by the motto of survival of the fittest could still fall under this definition in one category of their lives or another. And it could be that those who easily submit to the whims of others do so because they do not have a clearly defined focus or purpose for their lives. Now, when I was still teaching at the college, I taught the students in my salesmanship class to understand that if you do not have a clear focus and purpose for your life, that consistently sells who you are, if you can understand what I'm saying. You know, something about your life that sells who you are and what you stand for. If you don't have that, you will constantly find yourself trying to or buying the beliefs and opinions of others. So without a clear definition, a direction and purpose for your life, you will rarely get to do what you truly want to do, because you will be too busy buying into what other people want you to do. And people who subscribe to this first definition of meekness believe that to be meek is to be a doormat that everyone walks over. And that is referring to people who are struggling with low self-esteem, low self-confidence, and a very low sense of their own self-worth. However, common sense would tell us that this could not be what Jesus was referring to. Because Jesus wasn't a meek person on his own. You know, he wasn't meek in his interactions with others, especially in his interactions with the scribes and the Pharisees. So why would he advocate or encourage meekness for his followers? If you really observe the life of the master teacher, Jesus, you could not possibly come up with a doormat interpretation of this particular beatitude. Let me say it again. If you really were paying, understand the life of Jesus, the way he was in life, you couldn't really come up with a doormat interpretation of this beatitude. Because Jesus lived a life that was very congruent with his teachings. So our faith is founded upon the congruency between what Jesus taught and how he lived his life. So for each of us to continue to grow spiritually, both individually and collectively, we must come to the conclusion that Jesus believed and lived what he taught. Okay? There was a congruency between his teaching and the way he showed up. And that's what we're all striving to do. Be congruent between what we think, speak, and do. Okay? And this is what he was expressing in John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, he's saying, you cannot understand God the way I understand God until you develop the same discipline of mind, body, and spirit that I am demonstrating and teaching you. Okay. So again, Jesus was not meek in his dealings with others. But yes, he was patient, he was gentle, he was kind, he was humble, but at the same time, he was firm, confident, focused, and decisively committed to his life's purpose. And no one could sell him on a path that was different from the one that was near and dear to his heart and mind. Which, if you think about the time he spent in the wilderness being challenged by what they call, you know, the devil or Satan or whatever, which really we know that was in his own mind, and he was dealing with his own inner dynamics. You know, he stuck to what he believed. So I like to think of Jesus as a peaceful warrior. And the definition of warrior in this instance is a person who shows great vigor and courage when confronted by life's many challenges. Okay? So the battle that Jesus was experienced in overcoming is the battle that the ego is constantly waging within us to maintain its territorial claim on our mind, heart, and life. You know what I'm talking about. So this is a constant battle. You know, we're thinking that we want to move and be more engaged in understanding our spiritual self, and the ego is trying to keep us where we are. Our ego fights with us with all its might to maintain its position, its beliefs and opinions. But Jesus is teaching us how to become a peaceful warrior, where we learn how to win the battle by not fighting or resisting. Rather, we win the battle waging within us by learning how to get still and surrender our mind, heart, and soul and body, our very life, to the true Lord of our being. So as we read earlier in Psalm 27, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So the Lord, the psalm is referring to is the Christ, the divine principle within each one of us. The Christ within us exists as a conduit between our mind and divine mind. Again, no one can come unto the Father except through me. Okay, so we have this dynamic within us that is a conduit between our personal mind and our divine mind, which is what Jesus was referring to when he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. The me Jesus was referring to was not himself, but his mental state of being. Okay, so he's saying, no one comes to the Father except through the mental state of being that I am teaching, that I am demonstrating. So to move to the next definition of the word me, we'll go through several levels of definitions to get to the heart of what I believe Jesus was referring to. First, another definition for the word meek is showing patience and humility. Okay, another definition for the word meek is showing patience and humility, being gentle. So patience, humility, gentleness are three qualities we all admire in others, especially when we are received, they're at the receiving end of someone else's patience and gentleness. So the word humility is referring to one who is humble, and it expresses in a way that is marked by modesty in behavior, attitude, and spirit. Okay, so this is a person who is not arrogant, okay? A person who is not arrogant, who is not prideful, okay? Now, you should be able to understand the definition of this in terms of what Paul said about love, okay? And this is, and you know, we all know it, but let's go over it because it's, if it's not constantly in front of us, we just don't remember this. So he says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful or easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong, but it rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, or simply true love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Okay. So what are we striving to understand in this beatitude? You know, what we're trying to learn from it. And of course, the key is we're trying to learn how to let go and let God be God in our life. I must say that every single week, okay? We are learning how to gain mastery over ourselves, which is what is meant by the part which says, for they shall inherit the earth, okay? So we're trying to learn how to gain mastery over ourselves, okay? And this is what Jesus meant when he said, so they shall inherit the earth. Because the earth, in this situation, being the consciousness of the physical life. So we will inherit or understand how to master or be in control of the physical life. We're learning how to turn our thinking inward to the divine power and presence within, rather than outward to the limited perceptions of the ego. And as we read in 2 Timothy 1:7-8, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but gives you power, love, self-discipline, and a strong mind. So do not be ashamed of your testimony, demonstrating the spirit of the Lord within you. Okay? So it's a matter of interpretation that matches the divine consciousness of the teacher. Okay? Meekness, as Jesus used it in this verse, is about using our inner strength and fortitude to forego our perceptions, our opinions, our beliefs about what is possible and impossible, real or unreal. So to become meek, so to speak, so that we can become able to allow the indwelling activity of the Christ presence to give, to guide us in our thinking, speaking, and living, the scripture is saying, give testimony to the Spirit of the Lord within you. So meekness in this context refers to the expansion of our consciousness out of the loop of finite thinking and into the realm of infinite possibility. Okay? So Jesus is explaining that the divine life will be conferred upon the life of those who gently submit their thinking, their behavior, their attitude, their personal will to the will of God and patiently wait and listen for the divine unfolding of guidance within their consciousness. All of that to say, be still and know that I am God. Okay? And yes, that may sound as if we must sacrifice too much of ourself to attain this goal. All right? It's like that thing in the beginning, it said, don't think less about yourself, think about yourself less. Right? That was a perfect poster in Mom's, My Organic Market, and it said, wow, you know, that's sort of the idea. So again, this, like I said, this may sound like if you're going through this process, you're sacrificing too much of yourself. A lot of us want to hold on to our opinions and our beliefs and our, you know, our attitudes about life. And this is saying, let all of that go, okay? But if that's how you feel, if that's how we feel, we will reject the divine ideas we receive for fear of losing ourselves. Meaning, you're saying to yourself, this is how I should be. This is how I need to be. This is what I need to do. And then you receive this divine idea that says, think about doing it this way, which is different from the way that you were thinking. And we might hold on to our own way of being because we don't want to lose ourselves. You know, sometimes we come up with an idea or a way that we want to do something, and we say, oh, this is the way it should be. And then in some instant, we get this other thought that flows inside of us, and the battle begins between, do I let go of what I believe and be open and receptive to this what appears to be a divine idea, or do I forge ahead as I, you know, want to? But Jesus came to teach us that surrendering to the God of our being is not about self-sacrifice. It is about awakening to who we truly are. The real self within ourself. Okay? So in our spiritual quest, we're striving to reach a state of mind where we come to know our divine self as the true and only truth of our being and the guide for our life and affairs. So when the question comes up, you know, how do I know if it's Christ within me that is guiding me, or is it just my ego again, you know? How do I know? That's always the question. The answer is through practice, conscious listening, you will come to know what is you and what is beyond you. Okay? See, no one can know for you or tell you, you know, how to know. Yeah, have you ever gone to somebody and says, if you were me, you know, what would you do? Well, the obvious question is if the person would do what they would do, you know, right? We always do what we would do. You can't ask anybody else, what would you do? So it's something that occurs as a result. This idea of knowing occurs as a result of your diligent prayer work and sincere effort to overcome your own self-serving thinking. Okay? And again, we say, well, what do you mean, give up my own self-serving thinking? Okay? We're just saying the idea of meekness. It's just to be still for a while and listen to see if you receive something different. And the key ingredient to success here is to realize that God is matching your effort. Okay? As Jesus explained in John 5:17, my Father is working still and I am working. So you're never working alone is what is important for us to understand. We're never working alone. As you are working to break through your ego perception, God, the true law of your being, is also working, making you aware of certain things in the experiences of your life that will cause you to pause and say, wait a minute, what is this really all about? So what I'm saying is that we have these experiences that kind of challenge us. We come up within our mind of, you know, we're interpreting what it is and how we're going to deal with it. But because God is also working, there are things that will come to us, come into our minds, like I saw the poster on the wall or whatever, that will cause us to pause and say, wait a minute, what is really going on here? Is it what I think it is? or is there something else that I need to be open to? That's what this dynamic is about. That's how it works in our real life experience. So I know that sometimes it feels like you're digging through an endless dark tunnel with no light in sight. But just know in your heart, mind, and soul that God is coming to meet you, that God is the light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is coming to meet you. But also understand that God is moving towards you at the same speed and effort with which you are moving towards God, okay? God is not going to overwhelm you. This divine idea called God, this universal presence called God, is not going to overwhelm you. And yes, this is just an analogy, because in truth, you're already in God, and God is already in you, just as a fish is already in the ocean, and the ocean is already in the fish, okay? It's just an analogy, just use of words to try to explain a concept. So we already know that the implementation of what we are studying here is no easy matter. It takes a strong, sincere commitment to the process, because it is about transformation to a new state of consciousness, a new way of being. And the scriptural verse that explains this process is the one that we refer to time and time again. In Luke 10:27, we've said this over and over again: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, okay? And in that verse, what it's saying, the commitment, there is no exception in that verse. So total commitment is the requirement. Anything else leaves us open to fall back into old habits, old fears, and old ways of reacting to the circumstances and events in our lives. And I think we all know what we're talking about. I know what I'm talking about, you know, as it refers to me. You know, if you're not totally committed to working with this process, it is so easy to fall back into our old ways of being, okay? But the degree to which we can commit is an awakening process that occurs over time, okay? It takes time to get into a place where you're constantly, really, truly committed to this process. And as we diligently work towards our spiritual goal from right where we are in consciousness, keep working at it, we will move along the way. And yes, it can make you feel off balance sometimes. And this off balance feeling comes when we are we're moving towards that which we no longer are familiar with, is what I'm saying. You know, as you move away from what you're familiar with to what you're really not familiar with, it makes you feel uncomfortable because you don't know if you can rely on this unfamiliar way of being, this way of, you know, relying on spirit, this way of being still and listening and being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. This is why Jesus said, here it is again, blessed are the meek, all right? Meaning blessed are those who are patient, humble, gentle with themselves as they go through this process. And there's a saying that meekness compels God to action. Meekness compels God to action. So when we're able to truly let go and let God be in charge of our life and affairs, we are actually compelling God to act in our life and affairs, okay? And let me say it again. When we are truly able to let go and let God be in charge of our life and affairs, we are actually compelling God to act in our life and affairs. God cannot not respond to your every need when you become meek, meaning open and receptive, focused and committed to being an instrument, a vehicle, a channel through which God can do miraculous works in your life. And just like water rushing down the side of a mountain cannot resist the opportunity to flow into new openings, okay, right? Neither can the omnipresent power and presence of God resist flowing into new openings you create in your mind every time you get still and let God be God in you. There is no resistance in God. God is divine. Guidance flows freely where you allow it to flow. So the only place resistance exists is in our minds. So embrace the idea of meekness from the perspective of the way it positions your mind to be open and receptive to the Christ Spirit flowing into your awareness. And again, if the term meek still doesn't feel right to you, Well, instead, affirm that you are open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth flowing into your heart, mind, body, and spirit. You know, choose the term that works for you. So when you find yourself trying to come up with different methods to engage yourself in spiritual self-work, you know, we're always doing that. Well, I'm going to try TM. I'm going to try mindfulness. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I want to listen to this author, read that book. You know, when you're trying to come up with all those ways, okay, think about these words that are paraphrased from George Washington Carver. And this is what he says. I never have to grope for methods to awaken. The method is revealed to me at the moment I'm inspired to allow something new to awaken in me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And let's take a deep breath in and exhale. Take another deep breath in and exhale. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us settle into becoming quiet for the next few moments. Take in another deep breath and focus your mind on the rising and lowering of your chest and the expansion and contraction of your lungs. What a miracle breathing is, a natural part of our physiology. One more time, breathe in and out, and close your eyes if you wish to do so. In this time of reflection, take a moment to relax your body from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. Allow your day to slow down as you take these next few moments to become centered. As you follow your breath, let go. Quiet your thoughts by simply acknowledging them and letting them drift by. You can say silently to yourself, "Thank you, God," or simply think the word peace and allow your mind to rest as the still small voice within comes into your awareness. Thoughts of prosperous living, gratitude, and abundance in all forms flow through you now. Feelings of peace and plenty, a rich and abundant life, wash over you. Life itself breathes you, loves you, prospers you. Your thoughts and feelings go deeper into the still small voice within as it guides you to your highest good. Prosperity is yours as you let go and trust God completely for the good desires of your heart. Now please take the following words as your own. Abundant good is flowing to me, through my positive words and thoughts and actions. I am now in the flow of life. I move easily with the flow. I enjoy it in gratitude. I enthusiastically say yes to my good. And now I ask you to join me as we move into that secret place of the highest, where we may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and become even more centered. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and answered them as you always do. We say thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join your Unity family.
Very nice. Thank you. So, we have a, we always do our prosperity prayer for the offerings that are sent, you know, that we receive.
Blessings.
Offering blessing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do a prosperity prayer first so that we all each can acknowledge and give thanks for the prosperity in our lives, in our personal lives. So let's do that first, and then we will go into the offering blessing. So saying this together, our prosperity prayer, Divine love
through me
blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
So that's our blessing for ourselves. Okay. What we want to do now is do an offering blessing, and I ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, and just think about the Unity Center of Light and all of the inspiration and how you're inspired by what Unity Center of Light does and what it means to you. So as you hold those offerings in your hand, let's bless our offering. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right, and now you have light notes?
Yes.
Okay.
Light notes for today, Sunday, October the 23rd. The Wednesday discussion group returns with a short series based on the booklet In the Flow of Healing. The booklets are available. Please call Patty if you need one. At the November 6th in-person service, we will have Tepora as our guest musician. A special giveaway of the 2022 Advent booklet called A Christmas of Love and Peace. And our bookstore will be open with a great sale on books and greeting cards after church. Protocols for in-person service. Some things have changed. You do not have to register anymore as long as you have been vaccinated or bring proof of a negative PCR test. Masks are still required. The next read for the book club is Michelle Obama's book called Becoming. Discussion will take place on Sunday, November the 13th from 1 to 3 p.m. And the last announcement is Women of Unity will meet on Saturday, December the 17th for a wonderful afternoon high tea at 2:30. Please email me, pamosby@msn.com, if you are attending, and let me know what goodies you will bring. It is going to be a fun time. Thank you.
All right. So, what time is it?
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto.
Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection.
And love song.
Prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we are very thankful for having you here with us and worshiping with us. We hope we're going to see you in Zoom right after this. But otherwise, have a wonderful and safe week.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.